And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, no fear! Oh, man. York's Brave, the Slingshot YouTube channel guy, man. I'm like, oh, that was awesome. Well, they're going to find out what we already know. There's a much larger thing at play here. It's just opinion of, we don't like your opinion. You're not allowed to have an opinion. No. Well, this is all part of the Brexit Trump thing, the populist movement of, we don't like you none too much. And they're like, oh, hell no. We got a something. I don't know what they're going to do. Well, we got the midterms coming up. We got all kinds of news going. That means it's Trump Report, Trump Report, Dr. Frank Tenbury, Trump Report. So I'm going, all right, Frank. You know, what are we going to talk about this week? Is there anything of interest?
I was just wondering all night just what your introduction was going to be for this week. I have absolutely no idea where to start. And I'm serious. I mean, basically this country is at the breaking point. And I'll tell you what, Ernie, I think you're just salivating, or you're rubbing your hands together, because he kept saying skip to the end. And I think I could kind of see the finish line right now. Can't you? I mean, I
have no idea. I know the finish line where we're going. It's going to be a lot of people, not a majority, but there will be a lot of informed, and which are becoming more. A significant minority are beginning to understand how they have to rise above all this, and just so they can ignore it. And it is, we had Jörg Sprave. Did you hear the first hour?
No, I did not.
Jörg Sprave is a Slingshot guy, the Slingshot channel on YouTube. You ever see his slingshots? They're cool slingshots. I mean, it's Gatling gun, kind of whatever they have.
Yep.
Well, he started a YouTubers union against Google and YouTube for them taking, you know, away channels and demonetizing and doing all this, you know, and of course they want to talk to him. Oh yes, we hear your concerns, and we're very kind of, but contract, and it's ours, and screw you. And I'm going, man, you guys got to rise above, quit trying to change them. You're not going to change them. And even if you do, you know, the policy will change right back, and it's a midterm election kind of, we need to control. And thanks for the audience. I go, you're, if you can, you need to go to some other platform or create your own or something, be competition, because you're not going to get the overall of they got eyeballs and ears and thanks for giving it to them, and they're going to do whatever. I don't know, especially a slingshot. Are you kidding me?
Well, you know? I think you know, you and I, coming at, we're seeing the same destination, but I think we're seeing it perhaps, you know, from two different perspectives, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you're just seeing it like your old, you know, skip to the end, and you know, there's you're setting up the infrastructure for when it's, you know, it's like you've got this I don't know, if you're trying to herd animals or something, right? Like your job, like you're actually opening up the back gate so that when the explosion goes off and all the animals start running towards the back gate, the gate's already open, and they have a direction to go to.
It's like, you know, I tell you what it's like. You're standing in the, it's darkest before the dawn, and you stand there in the darkness of the desert of, man, even when it's a moonless night, it is, you still get some stars. You can kind of see a glow of, you know, in the sky where the mountains are. I mean, you know, unless it's overcast and you're screwed. But, I mean, you know, you got a clear moonless night, and it's dark right before the dawn starts. Where is the dawn? You have no idea. You look around, unless you're like super, got a compass or super survivalist or something, you look at, all of a sudden, one side of the sky starts to lighten up more. Okay, east is over there. Let's kind of, we'll go that way. I want to go east. So you're going over, and then you see, yeah, it's kind of getting, the sun's going to be right about, bing, there. And if you just head that direction, as you get closer and closer to your destination, as the sunrise comes, you get it pinpointed where you need to go. But what I'm doing is go, hey, at least of the 360, 180 degrees, it's over that way, okay? The exit is over that way somewhere. We need to go that way.
Right, but the thing is, Aaron, half the problem, though, and I've said this numerous ways, but of course, you know, when I lived with the Buddhists, you know, they have their old saying. And I've heard me say this before, you know, you'll never know the answer if you don't know the question.
Yep.
And for many people, they don't even know that there's a problem. And that's the thing. You already assume that everyone understands the problem. And of course, we all know, and we all, look, I mean, many people listening to this channel already know, otherwise we're not tuning in to Freedom's Phoenix. But at the same time, when I go over and over with you about how important it is for people to understand, you know, the wake up of where these issues are. I mean, when we've got people not understanding what the establishment even is, they don't even believe it exists, or just 10 years ago, people argued with me that your phone could track you. I mean, I know it's like, I had friends that didn't believe that your phone could track you. I mean, I this is just 10, 12 years
ago. The FBI can't turn on the microphone when they want. That'd be wrong.
I mean, I don't even know. We're super delegates, or how primaries work, or this entire thing that the media could lie to you. Oh, my God. Well, Fox News, of course, lies, but my media doesn't. So, I mean, this has been a learning process, an awakening, and education for this country that many of us in this audience have already gotten. But it's like I'm watching this on the grand scale, and that's what the importance to me is. That's what Ron Paul was to me. To you, maybe it was a different thing, an excuse to put up signs. But to me, it was Ron Paul was exposing and explaining things that I learned when I was 12 years old from people like Irv Homer, which you guys know is like it's like my version of Charles Goyette back in the day, who talked about these things. Anyway, I don't want to get back into the big picture again. Donald Trump has had a hell of a week, and this country's had a hell of a week. And we have, let's see, let's just try and run through the checklist so far.
Well, that checklist is going to try and trump it with war.
Well, I would start off with that one, was with war, right? I mean, the thing with Syria, because, you know, as if Trump doesn't think we have enough problems and he doesn't have enough things to navigate, he's even, just on the political side, just in the political sense, Donald, I mean, the economy's about to fall apart. You're looking at, I mean, I don't even know if he'll even survive this midterm, right? You've got impeachment about around the corner, especially if he can't hold Congress. You got Paul Ryan, you know, with the biggest rat on the ship, and you've got all the rats getting ready to jump. And of course, he's jumping. He's like, oh, you know, it's amazing how all these damn rats are all care about their children all at the same time. It's like everyone's worried about their children. I got to spend more time with my kids. He's like, all of a sudden. So he's. You know, I mean, Paul Ryan wanted to run for president, right? He was vice president. He was going to run two terms with Mitt, and then afterwards, he was going to set himself up to be president for 8 years. You know, but I guess all that, you know, he didn't care about his kids being teenagers then.
No, he's doing what Flake did. They're abandoning so they can say, we're not with them, we're the cure, and it's going to be Flake Ryan or Ryan Flake or BS like that.
Something like that. So anyway, so he's jumping ship, which of course, you know, I think in some ways is good, at least from the Trump perspective, because it's pretty much what we wanted. And people like myself, we wanted the establishment out and wanted, you know, and have Trumpism, you know, which I know is a whole other load of topic, and for you it's the same thing, and I get all that, but from the Trump perspective, it's like that was the point, is to we put people like Trump in. When he says drain the swamp, it wasn't to drain the swamp of Democrats. It was to drain the swamp. The swamp was of the establishment of both sides of just getting someone in there to look at the books and see just what the hell's been going on. I mean, there was a movie called Dave, if you recall, back in the day, which did this very thing. Of course, it came from a Democrat's perspective. And if a Democrat every man gets in there, then that's okay. And that's sort of like a fantasy movie.
Yeah, but they're not betting.
But exactly, and when it happens to be a Republican every man that gets in there, it's like, oh, we can't have that. It's the Antichrist. So that's what we have. There's much to go over as far as the economy.
I'll just go from freaking headlines, man. There's so much stuff.
There's so much stuff to unravel.
And Stormy Daniels is just not getting the attention she wants.
And
nobody cares.
Attorney. Yeah, there's an attorney.
Yeah, pay attention to us. Give us money, somebody. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. From the first letter of Captain Mark. History is full of flowery documents claiming to limit the power of the crown, but these poetic social contracts have been impotent to prevent the predation. Limited government is a lie they use to keep us submissive. The crown cannot be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor its treaties, nor even its own rules. The essence of the crown is centralized violence, and I've had enough. That's why I raised my black banner. I am no revolutionary. My aim is not to reset the cycle of violence, but to break it. My aim is an evolved society, invisible to the crown. Not a new hierarchy, but decentralized networks with no central figure for the crown to target. If you want your servile life, keep it. But we will not submit to the crown's agenda. And when you are ready to stop being its beast of burden, ready for adventure and opportunity, join us at piratswithoutborders.com. Okay, if I go over, you know, the site, there's 15 gazillion Trump things we could talk about.
I know.
And you know, so, how you want to just make a list,
well,
man.
How about this? Let me tell you just the basic ones first. Then what I want you to do is just rattle off the ones that you're seeing that you find important as well. And we'll just kind of piece it all together.
Oh, I don't find any of it important. I don't give a crap.
Oh, get the hell out of here. You're just so full of crap.
No, this is just a symptom of something. It's a symptom of the same thing. It's Zuckerberg up on Capitol Hill, blah, 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 blah. It's
You're YouTube
and Google.
You're probably wearing your Trump hat right now.
YouTube and Google, you know, Trump's in the corner facing the wall, man.
You're just wearing your Trump hat right now. I swear to God, I want to see the camera right now. All right. So real quick. So the main thing, the two biggest. I mean, one, of course, is the war issue. And did you, if you didn't put it up already, it was interesting. Stephen Molyneux. I always get his name wrong.
Molyneux.
Stefan Molyneux.
Stefan Molyneux.
Molyneux, yeah. I mean, he's a great guy. I like his channel. He put out a video the other day. Just, you know, he's kind of, you know, sometimes he rambles with that kind of stuff. But he put out a real passionate plea about the war.
So I got his mask on.
Big one. What's that? What?
I got his mask on. I had it on for you on the video just to, you know. Help you out.
Thank you. You made me happy. I knew you probably go to bed with that on too. So anyway, it was interesting. I mean, he put out a real passionate plea to just please don't go to war. You know, he talked about his whole family that were just victims of war. His grandparents, his parents are all died in World War I, World War II.
Yeah, I watched the first, you know, like 3 minutes of it or so on.
Yeah, I did too, about 3-4 minutes. And it was, you could just see the passion behind it for what it's worth. And I think that was, it was nice to see, but I think, you know, people sense that we're really at that point for many reasons. I mean, it's just another unnecessary problem, and it'll be a boondoggle for Trump to get sucked into this. And I can't believe he would be that stupid. Then you have, at the same time, that's going on. You have the economy, which you don't have time to get into that. We talked about that in the past, and that's just on the brink, and that's a whole nother, I'm sure you've done episodes on that, and we're just watching that about to go. Then, at the same time, as far as this whole Trump versus the world or versus the establishment, you know, the establishment is jumping ship. You know, McCain is nowhere to be seen, clearly. I mean, the guy's sick, of course. You've got all the Republicans leaving, setting up for their retort in, you know, 3 years. But the main issue is what's happening in this investigation. We are at that point where something, it's not if, it's when that this pop is going to occur. Because the midterm elections are around the corner. You have the fact that, you know, Trump may have been trying to feel out.
All right, we're coming back. We're coming back.
All right.
So you can receive our
tweets
at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. I want to get right to this. All right. There's a bunch of news, a bunch of it, all over the place, what we're going to be doing. We got Stormy Daniels that nobody's paying attention to. We don't care. Wells Fargo, you know, is being, you know, pushed out. All the teachers or the Federation of Union of Teachers, we're going to pull all our accounts from Wells Fargo if you don't stop doing, gun services to, you know, gun makers and NRA and that and everything. You know, then we have Let's see, DARPA drone swarms. They're going to have some war with some DARPA drone guns. Woo! Look at that cool Trump. You can go kick ass. And then we have the fleet coming in, all of a sudden destroyers and a bunch of missiles. And then Trump says, hey, here come the missiles. Here they come. You sure you want to play? And then Russia's going, are you stupid? You know, I mean, yes, I'm crazy. Is that part of the negotiating strategy? So there's so much stuff going on. War, the economy. Will they make a mushroom cloud to distract from all? Hell yeah. Always have.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. You've got, I mean, whenever I think, you know, whenever we have peace and prosperity, right? And so, of course, whenever you're about to have an economy.
Get your microphone up to something. I'm losing you.
Yeah, so like whenever you have the economy about to go, of course, you always distract with some kind of war. At the same time, when the president is about to get in the real problem, you go bomb somebody. This is right out of the Clinton playbook. The night of the impeachment hearing, I'm sorry, when they were coming down I think when Congress was deciding whether to impeach him or not, what was it, 2000, I'm sorry, it was like 1997 or 98, something like that. But when they were coming down with that final decision on impeachment, I will never, you know, I won't forget. I mean, they start running ads about on the regular news, how JFK, you know, cheated with his wife back in the day and during Camelot. I mean, that was the main news the night before. You know, they're trying to distract and say, well, Kennedy did it. At the same time, right before when the impeachment indictments were coming down, that's when Clinton started bombing, I think it was Libya. He started just out of the blue. We just started bombing Libya one night. People don't even remember. It was like this random bombing, and that became the news cycle for a couple of weeks. So anyway.
Oh, no, he'd been missiling Iraq all that time. Whenever they needed blue drip, boom, Iraq. That's when the Albright was going, half a million dead. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
He wound up bombing them precisely on the day when he was going to be indicted. And I remember that like yesterday. It was just so tit for tat and changed
baby food
cycle.
Factories.
And the Clintons were master players of that. James Carville's probably sitting there just rubbing his hands together. Anyway, the thing is, whether that this is the same thing or not, it's, you know, it wouldn't surprise me perhaps, but to me, the biggest stories is you've got the economy, you have this war prep, whether it's really a diversion or not, at least from Trump's point of view. And lastly is the thing, and you said Stormy Daniels doesn't matter, and as much as it doesn't matter, this is the big story, I think, because they raided Trump's private attorney, and this to me
is huge
of what it means, because put politics aside. If now the ACLU is going to back going in and raiding your attorney, the president's attorney, if the president of the United States cannot have any trust that the government, if there's no privacy between the president of the United States and his private attorney, then none of us have any sense of security. It's one of the last bastions, the last lines of confidentiality is left. And ironically, we just talked about this last week. I talked about how, you know, the privacy between a priest and their follower has been gone, right? You have to, you know, the priest has to report you. Myself as a doctor, if you say anything on the checklist, I have to report you. You know, and now and Peter Schiff, you know, your bankers and all have to report you and do the SARS on you. And now, of course, what? Now your attorney, is possibly going to be held liable, or they're going to come raid him. So this is significant in such a larger level. But of course, Democrats always, you know, to them, the means justify the ends. And they never understand that when you advance and ratchet up the lack of freedom just for your own political gain for right now, that believe it or not, there's long-term consequences for this stuff. And it keeps ratcheting this deal up. You know, Republicans, for what it's worth, they tend to be elephants because they don't forget. They tend to know the rule book a bit more. They don't always follow it. I'll be the first to tell you that. I mean, as libertarians can all you know, rattle off the Constitution. Republicans can do a better job at it than Democrats. But Democrats don't even know the rules, and they don't care. They call it a living document. It was written by a bunch of white slavers 200 or so years ago. So it just doesn't matter. Who cares, right? They don't even know the rules. So that's what makes them dangerous, because they just make this stuff up as they go and think that we're just old-fashioned for following it.
No,
and
they think you're naive for letting them get away with it. That's what they think.
When you have no rules, exactly. When you don't have any rules, it all goes. And so finally you get to a point, Ernie, and I was actually talking about you last night with Savarda, is that there was on one of the Fox shows, they had Alan Dershowitz and another attorney, I forget his name, And they had, like, Sean Hannity did, like, a special, you know, on this with all the legal wranglings of what this means, what Trump's up against, and blah, blah, blah. And what it kind of came down to, remember, Alan Dershowitz is a Democrat. The guy's a liberal Democrat, or at least a Democrat. And he's a Harvard law professor. And he's talking about the dangers of where this is. So we're going to need Democrats, that I've said, to finally call this stuff out. They're not going to listen to Republicans. But both of those attorneys, especially the other guy, what they're really kind of getting to is saying is that the rule of law is just literally breaking down. And that if Mueller, I mean, what this action against, you know, his attorney, you know, Trump's attorney means, what it finalizes and comes down to, Ernie, is that it completely undermines all credibility with Mueller, with the Mueller investigation, which means that if Mueller comes out and says that Donald Trump is an axe murderer and killed six people, that at this point, the conservative side is not even listening. I mean, literally, at least so far, we've been playing ball and saying, okay, here's what the rules supposedly are, tit for tat, and go
back
and forth.
There's no rules.
But I know we're getting into the world that you've been waiting for. Which
waiting
is,
for?
Point.
What do you mean waiting? I it's freaking everywhere. This is what I mean. It won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. You're seeing it happen.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, the Monday, you're going to go, hey, this happened. And I'm going, God, man, you're killing me. You know? But it's like when Jorg, I was talking to, you know, the YouTube channel union guy. I'm going, do you really know what you're up against? You're starting to realize that they don't give a crap about you, right? Well, yeah, but some of the guys that I talk to, that I go, but they're just implementing policy from on high of the artificial intelligence DARPA computer said this about that, and it's a damn thing you can do about it. You know, what did you think was going on? And this is manifesting itself in every way. When Brexit started and the Trump phenom and the Ron Paul evolution and all that, they're like, oh, hell no. We got to control and get the news speak in. We got to go Orwellian on everybody. And it's happening. So then what? You know, what do we, then what? We're so deep and dependent with our communication on, that's why it has to go decentralized. And it will. And they're going to say, no, you're not allowed. And ion cannon satellites and whatever the hell they got to do. So this is, we're living it. The future, you want to know? We're living it. And what do we got on here? I put it up. The DARPA working towards swarms of 250 drones plus. They put this out to all the AI guys. They said, look, we got all the hardware, but we need some better software to be able to, you know, swarm drone an entire column of kill everybody and target the people of kind of we win. Yeah, you don't want a bunch of collateral damage and little baby blown up baby body parts on the inside walls of a Muslim wedding in freaking, you know, Yemen. You don't want the collateral damage. You don't want to have 70, 80, 90% of the deaths by drones are civilians that weren't even the target. You don't want that. Well, we got us a drone swarm we need some coding for, and we'll target Ernie. We'll get some. We'll have both lights go out at Frank's and Ernie's at the same time.
Free Talk Live.
Group of feel me? I'm telling you, man. This is, you want to know what I've been thinking's coming? Well, here it is.
Well, I know for you the detail doesn't matter, and I get it. You're just
you got to get your phone up to your mouth or something, man. I keep losing.
All right, I know. Well, when you're talking, a lot of times I put on speakers so I don't have to put it to my head, and then when the break is over, then I get that's what goes on. Anyway, so the thing is that I know for you, you don't care about the detail about, which I don't blame you. I mean, to you, it's like, well, it doesn't matter what form it comes in. It's sort of like, you know, at the end of Ghostbusters, you know, who knows what form it's going to take? Okay, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. All right, so that form that our destruction.
It won't leave me alone.
Who cares? Right? so to me, it's interesting about the form and just to see how it plays out. I mean, I also, you know, got to keep in mind, I'm a history buff as well. And it's fascinating when you know history, and then when you can recognize when you really are living through a profound part of history, and this is in the history books, and we're seeing it unravel whatever it is. I mean, whether it's a second, whether it becomes America 2.0 and something greater, or it becomes a whole nother, you know, where the whole thing gets tanked. I mean, and we'll see. I mean, it could be a version of both, and we'll see. But to me, I think you're seeing the critical mass, which is that we have these midterms coming up. And it's a shame we're kind of in break right now. Hopefully a lot of people are hearing this on the archive. But we've got the midterms. And that's going to push this whole thing. You got the Republicans like Paul Ryan that are jumping ship, which means that, and not to mention how many Republicans have lost seats over the last, you know, month, or I'm sorry, the last year. And so it looks more and more, the rate things are going, unless something changes, the economy turns around, which I doubt, or Trump finally plays his Trump card and Jeff Sessions does his job, which he's not, and then all of a sudden we see or QAnon and all of this comes out, and maybe everyone goes, ah, I see, and then Trump gets this huge boost. That might be coming. That still might be along the way.
They're going to do an impeachment, and I don't care. That means we get a trial.
No, they can't do it until they get to Congress.
I know.
And well, exactly. So the point is, it comes down to, does he keep the midterms? This midterm is what this
don't
is
care.
The whole thing.
Trial.
It's all going to be about the midterm.
Bring it to a trial.
To you, it's like it's always the midterm, and I get that. But for this one, where this country, and I can't believe that you would not agree that we're at that breaking point. It's not just kicking the can down. We're literally out of road, Ernie. There's nowhere else to go. And this entire thing is breaking.
It's what they always do. It's a mushroom cloud.
Ernie, wait. I know you just, if we're talking about Trump, I'm explaining to you why Trump was put in there, right? I mean, the thing is, Trump is not, he's not the corruption. Trump was put in because of the corruption that was perceived to be there.
I don't mean he's not, you know, got his own corrupt plan or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Well, so Trump wants a bunch of strippers in there or whatever and porno guys or whatever. I mean, that doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that he was put in like Dave from that movie, of one of us, so to speak, to go in, clean house, and see what's happening. That's why drain the swamp, right? It wasn't draining of Democrats. It was draining of both party establishments, because we don't trust any of them.
Yeah, how's it
going? When you start to have, I don't care, Democrat or Republican, but when you have Hillary Clinton or somebody sit there and erase all of those emails and delete them and smash them and give the middle finger to the government, and the entire government gives the middle finger to us, and that person is going to be run as president, and the media endorses them, right? I mean, Donald Trump Jr. has a couple emails that he forgets. He sends them over immediately, and they go off for 6 months thinking that's some conspiracy. I mean, if Donald Trump Jr.'s got a few emails, and that's like the biggest scandal, you know, you've got a presidential candidate that they gave questions to who sat there and erased a whole bunch of them, and they think nothing of it. When you have this type of cultural blindness, this blindness from the side, someone has to go in and fix this problem, or at least expose it. And that's what Trump did. Everyone hated
here,
him, and
back.
I said,
visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Head on down the highway, and you're rushing headlong out of control. And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping, and you can't stop rocking, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I can bitch, whine, complain. Damn it, I'm going, oh, this is bias. You know, and who knows what good is. I mean, how do you even know? What's your barometer? I'm not as bad as that guy. You know, you could have got that. Oh, yay. I feel so much better, you know. You know, the mushroom cloud started on a different day. It's an abandonment of this whole concept of they rule me or who's my president or crap. They go, oh, the birther thing. Remember, Trump was all in on the birther thing. As long as he's got the right paperwork, he can be my king. And I'm like, God, I just want to slap everybody. You know, it's a much bigger concept than this, and we have to go through it. We got to go through this education, and the revolution may not be televised or YouTubed. It may not be, you know, in the street or this. But it's going to be between the ears. I guarantee it. And that's what we're doing right now. And we've been covering this 2.5, almost 3 years now. Well, you know, Frank is, you know, keeping us up to speed. All right. Roger Stone and Alex Jones had a press conference yesterday about, you know, the slap suits that they're doing, a strategically, you know, applied legal, we sue you, make you stop something. That's what a slap suit means. And it's a, you know, a strategic, legal, applied, you know, whatever the hell. And they have anti-slap suit motions that you can do. And they go, ouch, quit it, and what's happening? And it's clear, I'm like, discovery, yay! Let's have the court case. Let's do it. Well, that's what's going on with the Trump administration. Let's have the discussion. Is he winning? You know, what's he winning?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
What's he winning? Well, I think he's what he's winning is he's exposing the very thing that you've been trying to talk about. It'll be at the establishment and how corrupt the system is, and how they control you, and how there's the illusion of choice. And that, to me, is what Ron Paul did, and Donald Trump is doing the same thing, just in a different way. And that's why different. I think there's probably so many supporters like Alex Jones and myself that supported both Ron Paul and Donald Trump for the same reasons. I know you're different on that, but that's the reason why. And I think, you know, we're at the good news, in a sense, is that the end, when I mean end, you know, not the end of civilization, but just the end of this. We need a conclusion. This country needs to go forward. And I think it's almost like you have, you know, like we have our parents, you know, let's say, and one, we both trust our parents, supposedly, right? So the Democrats trust their side, you know, they wouldn't lie to them. Democrats and the media wouldn't lie to them. And the Republicans think the same thing, right? And it's sort of like you're getting to a point. I know, you're probably vomiting as I'm saying this.
I know. What do you think Bernie supporters are thinking?
Conceptually, right? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the regular plebiscite that you would like refer to.
Yeah, we don't worry about Bernie Sanders supporters. Yeah, we don't worry about
that. When I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about your audience or you. Okay?
Well, Bernie Sanders, you think half the Democrats or even a majority of the Democrats didn't feel they got screwed?
Look. Like, see, each side thinks that their side is right. I personally think that the the conservative or the let's just say that the liberal side is the corrupt one.
Yeah, I got screwed. My man Bush didn't get
started with the sociopath Clinton getting
Jeb.
In.
Jeb
but anyway,
win.
That's another story. But the thing is that both sides think that their side is off or right, and it has to be cleared up. It's sort of like, look, let's just put it all on the table, because if this, I mean, that's why we put Donald Trump in, not to cause the corruption, but because of the corruption. The problem is the Democrats don't even know there's any corruption that we put him in for, because they don't listen to any of the other news media that's out there. They don't listen to any of it. They've marginalized half this country to listen to alternative media, the very things that you are, like Freedom's Phoenix, Ernie, or Rush Limbaugh, whatever. But the average liberal and American does not even know what half this country is listening to. When you put on MSNBC and CNN and ABC, they're surrounded by this mindset, so they don't know. And they thought that half this country, I mean, the majority of this country thought like they did. So when Trump won, they couldn't figure it out. They had to come up with excuses, which was, you know, the David Dukes of the world all got their people together. Then the Russians did it. And they're trying to find some excuse rather than looking in the mirror. So somehow someone's lying to each other. We see Trump as a solution to the corruption that was there. They don't see the corruption. So my problem is that if the midterms switch to the Democrats and that happens, if we have not resolved what is going on in this country, then that is the breaking point, in my opinion, of hopefully nonviolent, but civil war of some kind, or a cultural war, or some kind of breakdown.
WalletVoting.com. It's going to be WalletVote. I'm over here now. Screw you. Boom,
no,
done.
But Ernie, we need to find out what once and for all what's happening. And so I just make a pledge to all people on the other side that let's just show everything. I want Trump. Have Trump take the stand. Fine. I want Hillary. Take the full stand. And I know she's.
Oh, he's holding off on that. There's some men. They do anything against him, he's got a big giant nuclear something.
If there's something coming, I certainly hope, but it's got to happen before the midterms, because Donald Trump must know now there's no way he's going to keep the midterms, most likely, and he'll lose all chance. So that is why when I said there's no much further road for this can to go down.
We got lots of. They'll pull crap out of there.
No. It has to be exposed then. So Trump's got to show all his Trump cards, and the Democrats.
He will.
I want everything. Ernie, what I'm trying to get to is I want everything.
We'll get to it.
I hope there's a consistency where Democrats say, I want all Trump stuff. Fine. I want all of your stuff. I want to see everything.
All right. Let me tell you what the ocean that this is floating on, okay? Here we have on just front page Freedom Speaks right now. Here we got Tucker Carlson going, what the hell, Syria again? Do they have to always have a gas attack to keep us there and we're not leaving? Of course they do. Then you got, you know, everybody's just calling BS on it. Here, report. 974 fans attend Rays versus White Sox game at Guaranteed Rate Field, okay? The baseball season's only 2 weeks old, but all of a sudden, yeah, nobody cares. They're not going. Where's the eyes and ears going? Now we have shock un-PC TV show breaks audience records. A shocking but good-hearted show called Taboo has broken television records in Belgium by telling jokes about paraplegics, amputees, and minorities. Well, this is, well, oh my goodness, in Europe? And it's starting to break out? Oh, in America, oh my God, Roseanne and Tim Allen are coming back. It's breaking. This whole thing is breaking. And I'm going, you guys just keep doing it. I'm shocked they were able to keep it a lid on all this, the people being able to express their preference with just opinion. And that's why I keep going, I need microtransactions on cryptocurrencies, and I need to be able to do just little bitty, you know, baby donations of a nickel and it not cost me a gazillion dollars. That's a walletvoting.com. That is what I understood and realized in 03. I go, man, I can see where this is going. It's going to be just preference. It's going to be opinion. What the hell you think they've been doing for generations and trillions of dollars for mandatory youth indoctrination and, you know, propaganda from the Pentagon, and we got to change the law so we can mass, you know, mind screw the American public, blah, 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 blah. And it's breaking! And there's not a damn thing they can do about it. All this is just froth on the ocean of BS. And when it breaks, it's going to be a revolution between the ears. It's going to be a paradigm shift, and it's going to be global. And they're freaking out if they can keep that under wraps and suppression until one more election cycle.
Right, but my point is they can't. We're at the, I mean, I know you, to you, it's just, your eyes glaze over when I'm talking about this. You're just like, okay, let's just talk about all the ways I've opened the barn gates for everybody, and you've got all these options and wallet voting. I get all that. I'm just trying to explain, this is the Trump report, how we're getting to that nexus point and how we're that inflection point in history.
Oh, no,
we're
it's evidence. There. It's
and,
evidence.
And when I'm talking about, Ernie, showing both sides, it's like, let's each show each other's hands, and that way we can figure out who's lying to us, because we have to, as a country, realize someone's lying to us. Maybe all the Republicans are lying to all the Republicans, or all the Democrats are being lied to. And I know there's lies all over, and I don't want to get there. I'm just talking about there's something deeper, the deep state, does it exist or not? And the bottom line is, when our Congress asks and demands from our Department of Justice documents, 1.2 million of them, to figure out what the hell's been going on, and they won't release the documents, our government is officially rogue. The whole world can see it now, and that is the inflection point. Something's going to give, someone will be arrested.
Arrested! Oh, that's it. That's the
game. Oh, I know.
That's it? Is that it? Hey, you're going to get arrested. You get frog marched.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will. So pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Pachot says he thinks it was Serbia. There was a lot of Yugoslavia stuff going on, but I don't think they ever stopped a cruise missile in Iraq during all that time. You know? So, it's either one. Let's see. I think Clinton was bombing Serbia. And and a bunch of freaking anybody else.
I forget who you bombed. It was. I thought it was Libya, but it was just like this random bombing, like the night of the impeachment.
I think it was Iraq. I mean, you know, they just had an assembly line of cruise missiles for whenever they needed to, change the lead or something. You know, so I'm.
You even got me laughing, Ernie, because I know, like, the music's up and I can't express the part of it, and I already know how you're going to spin and interpret it before you even say it. And yeah, I know. It's like, oh my God, someone will get a fine.
They're going to get arrested.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. We're all saved. We got Hillary frog march down into the, it's all good. You know, these things are negotiated. Do they get to put their coat over the handcuffs as they walk out? Do they have to have the handcuffs behind their back? Do they get drugged? You know, I'd be like, drag my ass, man. I ain't helping. You know?
The perp walk, I know. You know, we did our job.
No, you got to turn it. Tom DeLay. I remember he goes, no, I'll come in. You know, that's why I'll turn myself in. He goes in, his mugshot. That's where Shelton got that from. You smile for the mugshot. No smiling for mugshot. And when they did that, they changed the photo of Shelton from then on. After the first time of him smiling, they got some other whatever picture of him not smiling that they started to promote because they can't have you smiling. You know, that's the whole point, is to get the mugshot. It's all about the mugshot, you know, and it's just a game that they play. I'm like, give me my mugshot. Here, let me mess my hair up more for you. I want Gary Busey.
I can't imagine being contempt and having more jail time because you smile during your mugshot.
Oh, like, no, they wouldn't do that. God, man, you're killing me. You guys are, you know, it's the, duh.
Well, I'm not doubting you. I mean, that's the crap of the list. So, anyway, I mean, Ernie, that to me is the real issue of where we're at, of how it's about to hit, in my opinion, right? I mean, from your point of view, you know, if you don't care about the details, and I know that, you make it clear.
I know exactly what's going on. Mueller's got a big, giant pile of how many Frog March people we have. Then Sessions, maybe, and Trump's at least counting on them. They got a big, giant pile of, go ahead, slap on your stuff. We got a big, giant pile of, you want to see some people perp walk? Let's play. You know, so it's perp walk, you know, sitcom. I get to watch the, you know, the perp walk, and then you have, you know, it'd be a good TV show competing. All right, here we go.
And more. Promote.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Sitting on the south side of town, you could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story,
same
old story,
same old song and dance. Around long enough, same. Wait a minute, let me get the camera here. Same. How many times have I got to go through this? I've been doing this 30-something years. Same. Distraction made you look. And it's just, I am just so, well, Trump is really good at playing. You want to play the game? I can play the game. Let me show you how to play the game. I'll have a song about it. Like to hear it. Here it go. Okay? I get it. Can we rise above it? Can we get to the point of I don't freaking care? It's getting to that point. People are like, so they always do what they always do. They go to the universities. They got, you know, they protest and you know, they get your cameras out and show. And we won't arrest all the guys at Berkeley throwing chairs through the windows because they're our guys, you know. It's just so programmed. You got, you know, the Roger Stone, Alex Jones, and InfoWars kind of, I watched probably, I don't know, in the background, hours worth of yakking, Alex quit it, and, you know, Alex interrupting all the time and doing their anything. But he goes in, and he's there saying, this whole thing at Charlottesville, when that did, and the fact that InfoWars are there, and they had some of the young reporters, women that were there, holding, he goes, because I got an InfoWars microphone, you're a target. They throw water balloons full of feces and urine on you. They spit on you. They do any and everything to keep you from covering what's really going on. And what's really going on is this fascist, anti-fascist, Antifa, and this versus kind. It's all a show. It's just a show. For what? Where are we going? Where do you think we're going? What's Trump going to expose or stop or not be part of or be part of? What the hell is going on, Frank?
Well, was mentioning last time, so I let me just rephrase. I hope not just one person gets arrested. I think maybe two people get arrested.
Two. Is that better? Two. You know, okay. Bill and
that,
Hillary.
We were laughing about that off the air.
Put her in jail. Jail her up.
So, yeah, that was. I knew that just fed right into Ernie's little modus operandi. But anyway, I get it. What where I think this is going, and I'm mentioning, is you've got a war which is about to be either whether it's legitimate from Trump's point of view or distraction, I don't know, and I don't care, but that is the worst place for him to go and get sucked into. Then we have an economy about to break, and of course, if it breaks under Trump, or even if it doesn't break under Trump, you know, Democrats are just going to blame him for everything because, you know, after all, our economy was doing just stellar when Obama handed it over to him. The debt clock was probably reset to zero, which I must have missed that. But anyway, that's a whole other story. So that's about to break. And then you have this the underlying problem of both sides – legitimately, sincerely, not the people at the top who are orchestrating all this crap, but the average voter, your neighbors, the people who are defriending you on Facebook, the people who argue with you don't come to Thanksgiving dinner, this entire thing is at a breaking point. I know for you, you don't even hang out with these people, so it doesn't matter. You don't care, and that's why, you know, but half this audience does, Ernie, and that's, I might hear from a lot of these people. I mean, they're in the same boat, and they're seeing, where does this end? And the only way, to my opinion, it's going to end, and I think we might have a solution, I mean, maybe not, but the Democrats, both sides, have to just agree to put everything on the table, to agree that someone's lying. And maybe it's your side. We don't think it's our side. We think it's the other side. Everyone thinks that. So let's just be consistent, okay? So if you want Donald Trump Jr.'s emails, fine. He gave them to you. The minute you said you wanted them, here's the emails. Well, let's see Hillary Clinton's. Let's just be consistent and cover them both on the news. I know that's a pipe dream. But if we agree to put this all out, when they want a special prosecution, right? They went to Donald Trump. We want a special prosecutor to do this Russia thing. Okay, good. Let's do a special prosecutor on the other side. If we can somehow get all these papers out, which, by the way, is the main thing. Everything that they asked Donald Trump's team for, they've been giving. All the papers, whatever you want. Because from Trump's point of view, he's not lying. There's nothing going on. There's no collusion. And, of course, they still haven't found anything. But therefore, fine. We've given you all these papers. We're doing whatever you want. Quid pro quo, now our Congress, right, the Intelligence Committee, okay, with Nunes, the whole Nunes memo and all that stuff, Nunes and that whole committee has been asking, quote-unquote, demanding, because supposedly we're in charge as Congress. I know, you don't have to jump in with that, Ernie, but, you know, we're supposedly in charge, have been demanding, finally, to see what the hell is going on. Just like what Dave did in that movie Dave, he gets in Congress and his friend the accountant comes up and he pulls all the books to see just what the heck Congress is doing with the money, right? That's a fantasy pipe dream. Well, we are actually in that spot now. We have people who are on the side of the plebiscite, right, the proletariat, as you would say. We're there. So let's look at the books and just find out who the hell's lying. And when they're asking for these documents for the last year or year and a half, for those of you who don't know, that is the major story. They're demanding 1.3 million documents, and all they're doing is giving one or two documents a day, completely redacted. The entire thing's blacked out, okay? And they've only turned over 3,000 or so documents in a year and a half. They're running out the clock, waiting for the midterm. And my most sincere dream or wish is that Democrats would finally just recognize this and say, look, if you have nothing to hide, and first of all, why would Hillary smash her emails and do all this if it doesn't mean anything? But if there's nothing to hide and this country needs to heal, we need to figure out what direction to go in. Let's all agree, release all those damn papers, and wherever it lies, let it lie, and we can go forward. And I think the average American might agree with that, but the average American watching mainstream media doesn't even realize they're holding all the documents. They keep diverting, like, you know, with the make you look deal, that it's Stormy Weathers and had an affair and whatever lies they want to bring up that he's a racist. They're avoiding the real issue of the documents not coming out. If we can just get them all out, let everyone see wherever it is, then we can maybe heal one way or the other. But if it's not and it's suppressed, which it will be, and the rats jump ship and we lose Congress, then the next 2 years is just impeachment hearings to just kick him out. And I don't care who's president next. And if Paul Ryan or some Democrat, it doesn't matter. The distrust of people just tuned out and giving up on any sense of legality or rule of law is going to be so embedded and baked into this cake, Ernie, that is basically what you're waiting for. You're just waiting for that moment to happen. You're like, all right, party time.
Let's get going.
And that's what you're waiting for. But I'm just saying that is the one way out of this. And I appreciate you giving me the few moments to kind of express that.
See, this is when you lose faith in the whole thing. You go, where is the counterbalance? Where's the people? Where are we supposed to have it? It was juries. You know, it was, you know, so that we can't, you know, although we acknowledge the power of the juror to vote not guilty and nullify the law, we have no obligation to tell them. This is Arizona Attorney General and the Supreme Court here in the Ninth. They go, we don't have, you know, we're not going to tell you. You know, you might like say not guilty and stuff. You know, if we got them to trial, man, guess what we want? Guilty, 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 for whatever reason. Justice don't be damned. It supported the man. So I'm going, all right. So as all of this starts to get more, you're going to start having kickback like that to where it's going to be, all right, you want to show the power? It's not going to be voting. It's not going to be, you know, anywhere. It's where you spend your money, where you spend your time, and when you go on the jury. So these are the things that I, from experience, they don't like it. And I tell you, the big thing is going to be when they just lose the eyes and ears. And they did it already. It was called broadcast television. The people left. They just go, nah, not so much. In 03, teenagers spending more time on the computers than television. That was the writing on the wall. It was over. What happens? By that time, all these platforms that came out got bought up by Facebook and Google. Whisper Technology, WhatsApp, and CryptoGuy, Facebook. YouTube and any and everything, Google. What do you think was going to happen? I'm talking to the YouTube slingshot guy, and I'm going, YouTube union? You know, union the what? Please, sir, can I be on your platform better in a better contract if you really go by what? What the hell are you thinking? You know, it's like, well, we're going to vote for this guy to rule us. I'm like, wow, God, man. But the realization is coming that you're not going to win depending on, it's like a Peter Schiff moment going, look, man, it's over, man. It's just Wild E. Coyote with a sign that says yikes. You know, he's off the cliff. So we need to prepare. And what are you saying? We need to prepare for a midterm election?
Well, I would say in a sense, yes, not the midterm itself, but the fact that that everything is geared towards that moment. Because, I mean, there's nothing beyond that point. I mean,
no, everything's geared towards the next election. You're like sucked in, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's the end of the line of how this thing could be healed. There's no way if they lose Congress, then it's done. I mean, it's done, and it's just going to be whatever the state tells you, and then people are going to either check out, they're going to move out of the country, they're going to check out, they're going to switch to other forms, and they're just not going to care. I mean, after all, if the government can sit there, if Hillary Clinton can sit there and erase evidence, then why should someone else, you know, abide by the laws? If you've got,
because we freaking say we got guns.
If ACLU says that we can raise someone's office and your attorney, I mean, if all of a sudden if Congress says to turn over these documents and our the people who work for us don't.
Okay, real quick, Chris Duane from Truth Never Told. It's a precious metals and cryptocurrency. Mark, Chris Duane, YouTuber, would be interesting.
Has reached its goal of 20.
Okay, I had to get that in real quick.
Okay, sorry.
Because he's YouTube guy, and I guarantee they're cutting down on him. I mean, you know, they think he's just an economics guy. You know, it's a silver thing. You know, they go, oh, they wouldn't cut back on you. You're not family friendly, are you? So we'll see.
I have a question, and look, just don't jump to your knee jerk. Oh, it just doesn't matter. Who cares?
I'm curious
how much you think from just the political, because you're kind of old, right? You're an old timer. So how much do you think this is a deeper retribution from maybe your parents' generation or the remnants of it? What I mean by that is we succeeded as a country unified with World War II, right? Supposedly, everyone's unified, patriotic, waved the flag, and all that. And then all of a sudden, you know, the military-industrial complex, in order to stop a third world war, because the people by World War II had lived through two wars, lost a lot of people, and I know my grandparents still cried over the friends that they lost.
No, we want to be able to kill a lot more.
Well, I mean, look, put it aside. I went to college in Japan, as much of your audience knows.
Hey, get to the question, man. What is your question?
Well, the point is retribution. So you have the war. That turned to Vietnam. All the money went to the building up the military.
Retribution to whom against whom? What are you talking about?
We built up the military to stop another hit. Right? We had two world wars. We tried to avoid a third one. So all the money started going into all these giant defense programs that were all off the books. Then the Democrats started seeing all the money going to the military, and they said, wait a minute, you know, if we're going to keep authorizing money for you, then we want money for home, and that became the Great Society and all the welfare state. So both sides began ramping up the debt, not caring about it, because, you know, each side got what they wanted, and then until we went bankrupt, and then all the crimes began happening, JFK gets assassinated, Martin Luther King, all that sort of thing. And so I think the Democrats probably looked at that as an attack on them. Republicans were building up with the military, the money went away from them, and then civil unrest, and their side began getting whacked and killed. And the unrest turned into the hippie generation, that turned into the resistance of the 60s generation, and that led to takedown of almost retribution. You guys got Kennedy, we take out Nixon. And now, they took out Nixon legally with the first impeachment, right? So then at that point, then that leads to what? You know, this anger from the Democrats that led to Ronald Reagan. They tried to get Ronald Reagan, right? The whole impeachment thing and Reagan.
All right, I'll stop. You're killing me, man.
Well, no, wait. What I'm trying to say is this tit for tat. And then finally, from Iran, from Reagan attacking Reagan, then the Republicans get back and they impeach Clinton over a stupid sex scandal, which is what they're trying to do now.
Wow.
And so from Clinton, they're angry. And then now we've got Trump. And I kind of wonder how much is just in the system, in the establishment, is just this anger that keeps festering, this deep tit for tat that the average person may not see. But I kind of wonder, that's my question, is do you think it's really a deeper establishment inside the Beltway, just retribution, almost like two mobster gangs going back and forth? I mean, anger over whacking the last guy.
Okay, I tell you, if you, it doesn't matter what the answer is if you ask the wrong question. And that is the bullshittest question I ever heard. Because I'm like, you're assuming there's two different sides. I'm going, there is no, them versus them. It's they, them, those are all on one side versus us. You know, these are manifestations of, the people have a preference and they go, yeah, you showed your preference. We don't like that preference. Next. We got, it's the machine. It's, it's them in control. Anything that, puts the individual as supreme above that, be it JFK is going to take down the CIA and the intelligence community and tell all about, and there was a bunch of UFO stuff supposedly that they were going to release. Well, that doesn't support the state. Well, then you have, Nixon, the Republicans, and the people, he's not our corrupt guy, or, the other side dudes, and kind of we need to be in charge of. It's our herd to manage. It's always them arguing over who's going to, exploit the herd and how much money they can spend. So the guys that get in, just so they don't wind up dead, just give everything to everybody, and then we go down in the debt and is Trump thinking that he's going to manage the renegotiation of the repudiation of the debt of I'm doing a bankruptcy of restructuring of the Taj Mahal? I mean, is that what's going on? I don't care. Because the first problem, the whole thing, as you're ranting on about it, just freaking drives me nuts to hear and listen to it. Well, there's the Democrats and the Republicans. Bullshit. There is them. There is they, them, those, and they will use both sides. You go high enough up on the pyramid at the top of the all-seeing eye, it's the same people controlling both sides at the same time. And as globally and as many people in the population and countries as they can get to do it. And all dissenters must be, dealt with. And who are the dissenters? And with technology and ability and production and what, all of a sudden here comes Russia, God forbid China, and a billion people, half billion bunch of people, India. You go, oh yeah, you want a one world? I give you one world. I got 1.8 billion or whatever, 2 billion people here right now, and they all got retina scans. And no cash. Ha! Who's winning now? Ooh, I want you in my club at the mahogany table. And this idea that there is, separate entities and you're going to pick a team on, NFL or something, man, that is the problem. That thinking right there. We are against they, them, those. It's individuals versus the collective. And that is it. And that statism thing, that is the problem.
I understand you're playing a bigger game with it. I do. I'm not obtuse to that. I understand.
All right, one minute. I got to get to my next guest.
Donald Trump is that individual, is what you're talking about. All right, we'll talk later.
All right, man. Peace.